Rick Goddard on ABC Radio Hobart.
Heath Smith is a Tasmanian poet, does all kinds of poems from ballad to verse, and thought it might be nice to wake up with a little bit of poetry this morning. Hi, Heath.
Hi.
You born in Tassie?
No, I was born in Connecticut, and I wound up living in New York with my mother until I was one, and then we moved out to Australia.
How do you get from Connecticut, from New York to Tassie?
My father is an oceanographer, so he got a job with the CSIRO in Cronulla, which was an improvement on the United States.
And come out for the science. Mm. Amazing stuff. What got you into poetry?
I just love it. I've always loved it. Mm. Yeah.
Since you've been a kid, like there was no kind of
pretty
moment?
Pretty much. No great moment. I've always written poetry. I really started seriously writing poetry when I was about 15, probably. I wrote songs and things like that.
And you perform all over the place?
Yes, wherever I can.
What kind of school of poetry do you like to draw on?
There isn't one. I've studied meter to a degree. I love it. Mm. Verse form, I do open verse. I'm finding blank verse difficult. I'm working on that at the moment because I rely so heavily on rhyme sometimes. But I love it. I just love writing poetry. I think it's beautiful.
Rhyming is so timeless though, isn't it? I mean, if you think about how it exists in hip hop, for example, and it's what really reaches out to us. So abstract as poetry might have got the power of that rhythm and rhyme. Just keeps coming to us. You did a poem recently at the Concert for Compassion.
Yes, I did.
Issues. Do you want to do some of that for us?
Sure. It's called The Ballad of Ali the Brave. And it goes like this. Ali was a refugee, was forced to flee from home. From religious persecution, from Iran, he roamed. He never really said that much. I know he got to Turkey, found a boat and left that shore, smuggled. Desperate, furtive. He was put on Christmas Isle, a prison in the sea, where he learnt the helplessness of Aussie refugees. He left home at 21, got here at 23. The things he'd done and seen and felt he rarely shared with me. He got stuck up in Darwin, processed, stamped and freed. A poor man with no English. He ached for family. He ached for food and clothes from home. He missed his motorbike. Through rough and snow-top mountains, Ali used to ride. He used to pull the thing apart and build it up again. He used to sit and smoke and talk with all the younger men. All things philosophical caught his attention, pure. A bright one, always curious, he opened many doors. He left behind a grocery store that he used to run. Down inside its basement, his mates would meet for fun. He'd own his own apartment. It was his family's gift. Then wound up here with nothing. A massive culture shift. He worked hard as cheap labour. He sent himself to school. Learnt to read and write and speak. Ali was real cool. Ali was an addict. Who'd kicked its chains off, true. Never touched a drug again. He'd seen what crack could do. But in Iran, when he got clean, he'd found a place to trust where his abhorrence of God was accepted and discussed. But then was forced by threat of death to leave within a week unless he chose the easy path to relinquish his beliefs. Ali was an atheist, and Ali was no fool. He read from existentialists, philosophy his tool. But here, when he found what he thought a haven for the clean, discovered only cultish rules, a letdown to his dreams. But still he tried for several years to make this land his home. It was all so different, so rich, so bland, so cold. Ali asked me questions like, why can't men cry here? Or, why don't men friends kiss and touch? He hated all our fears. Why don't you talk at bus stops? Why don't you share a stranger's laugh? Why are kiosks dirty? All this and more bewildered him. He found us shallow, hard. Ali was a pacifist. He worshipped Kurt Cobain, but strangers called him terrorist before he knew his name. They got a job as kitchen hand, he thought the others fools, saw more to life than washing up and went further on in school. An old age carer he became, left restaurants far behind. He bought a car and read Camus to stimulate his mind. Camus wrote of outsiders. Ali truly felt alone. We tried to offer comfort, to give the guy a home, but Ali wouldn't listen. It got him in the end. Where there was hope, he heard it not, was rigid, wouldn't bend. And while he had that caring job, he leased a single flat and left behind what friends he'd made and holed up like a rat. Ali honoured suicide, Camus and Kurt Cobain. He couldn't see the joy of life. He lived in lonely pain, but still he strove to grow and learn. Entered university, studied hard to be a nurse, but could not break free from all the loss of family, love, his culture, food and land. He wouldn't talk to Muslims, felt they didn't understand. Alone he walked, by haunted choice, a young man in his prime. Once smart and funny, cheeky, kind. Poor Ali lost his mind. He fell into the cavern that men like him can go. Took his life, left a note, asking to be thrown into the flames, then to the sea, the place from whence he'd come. But Ali got no final wish. Even that was gone. They gave a Muslim burial that Ali would have hated, full of chants and ritual. His parents' needs were sated. It was weird around that grave as we dropped handfuls of dirt upon the cheap-built casket. The people there were curt. Strangers from Afghanistan had come to pay respects. None of them had known him, his strengths or his defects. They stood to one side of the grave and we stood to the other. In a different form of his home tongue, they spoke of him as brother. We tried to mix, but they were tight. Perhaps held us to blame. They filmed the ritual for home. We didn't grieve the same. We tried to share what we all felt, the sadness and the shock, the tragedy, the helplessness, but words were not enough. His presence still dwells in my house. I see him every day in the photo on my pantry. I think he almost prayed. A simple quote from Cruel Camus, who talked up suicide, that speaks of love and joy and hope. May he have that now he's died.
You're listening to poet Heath Smith, and it's a poem I read recently at the concert for Compassion. How did you know Ali?
He lived in my house. Yeah, he rented a room in my house. We got to know each other through a rehab program.
Yeah, okay, because it's such a sort of, I just love how you strip all the layers back on this character, people we often see in a very surface way in our culture. And it was amazing. Was that your experience as well, that you were kind of going through layers of your own expectations?
Truthfully, when I wrote it, it all came to me in about 20 minutes and I just wrote it.
Mm.
It was, when I write, I get inspiration. It's almost like it's not me that's writing. It's another force of some kind that gives me inspiration, and I don't really take responsibility for it. It just comes to me, and then the bit that I do is I edit like crazy.
Yeah, that's the bit that makes it good in the end.
Yeah.
Do you have any of your poems online?
I will.
Okay.
I'm starting a YouTube channel. I'm making film clips, and including the Ali poem. I've got one of him. I've got one about a chicken that escapes from a battery hen farm. There will be more. Yeah.
And look out for them, Heath Smith, and see if you can find a great YouTube poetry channel. When it launches, come and let me know. We'll have another chat.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you this morning.
Okay.